pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, April 12, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame. The weekend is almost upon us. Of course, on the line, Dwayne Mullins, as always, and joining us this morning from Soccer Talk Vancouver, who you can follow on Twitter at Soccer Talk Van. Simon Fudge joins us today to talk about the Vancouver Whitecaps. How you doing this morning in Vancouver, Simon?
Good morning, guys, from sunny Vancouver. I'm very well.
It's actually somewhat temperate Toronto, believe it or not. It was a minus 7 24 hours ago, and now it appears to be plus 7. God love the weather, Simon. Wouldn't be a Soccer Today if we didn't talk about the weather. On a less sunny topic, Simon, you reached out to me when we booked this interview and said that you wanted to maybe comment a little bit more on the Kira McCormick story, which is ongoing in the Vancouver area around the Whitecaps. So I'll just put it on the table for you right now, and you can say what you wanted to tell us.
Well, there isn't a lot that I can say, but I would probably put it like this. I know more than nothing. As many people will know, I was part of the club as the club's correspondent and sort of part of the club's front office during those years. I started with the club in 2007 and was obviously there in 2008 and stayed with them through until the end of the 2012 season. So the year in question in which the conversation around the women's coach at the time, which has obviously been widely reported as being Bob Berarda, was someone that obviously I knew very well because my remit at the time was covering all of the teams in the club, including the women's W League team, and it's been an interesting time for me to see all of this kind of come to the fore again because it was. Back then, I didn't really have any sense of anything untoward between the coach and the players until the day that he was let go, which was the 9th of October, 2008. And if you remember back then, this will probably refresh the memory more of, not so much of Kevin, maybe Kevin, but Dwayne. That was 3 days before the 2008 USL First Division Championship game that the Whitecaps hosted against the Puerto Rico Islanders. Having beaten the Montreal Impact over two legs the weekend before and then finding out half an hour later after we'd beaten the Montreal at Swangard that we would host the championship final at Swangard. So some context for you that the club was in this massive kind of build-up to host this game, which was on Giving Sunday that year. Background, and what we didn't know was that by Thursday morning, ourselves, the club, and soccer had parted ways with Bob Berarda, and we weren't aware of this. And it wasn't until myself and my colleague, who I was working with quite closely at the time, started asking some of the other coaches and people closely about what it was all about. But it was very sudden. And there were little things like, for example, our immediate boss making sure that Berarda's email, Whitecaps' email, was removed from the site immediately. Those kinds of things, which just indications that gave me the sense that they had a fairly good idea as to why they were making this decision. And to this day, I've always been of the belief that that has been the case because, and that's an important point to make, considering that what we've seen recently, especially in terms of any communication from the club, which has been very little to this point on this matter, the one thing that they have said is that they weren't aware of the details in regards to what was going on after what the under-20 players brought out last week. And they said, well, now that we've been aware, we've informed the Vancouver Police Department. That is very difficult to believe, especially certainly from my standpoint, having seen just how quickly the club parted ways with him, how terse their statement of parting ways with him was made, which was quite in contrast to what the CSA put out for a statement, which actually detailed what he had done with the program and so forth, which was a little bit strange as well at the time, and just all of those sort of things that kind of came back to be a bit of a memory. It's been a very strange one, and but also maybe sort of from a journalistic point of view, and what's been sort of encouraging of late has been how much of a life this story has been getting and how much attention it has been drawing. The fact that the Guardian newspaper has picked it up and written an article on it, I think it's leading to certainly both the CSA and the Whitecaps having to face the fire and answering some very difficult questions, which right now, from what I see, is that they're trying to avoid.
They certainly are trying to avoid it. It is a story that we can talk a lot more about. And if you have not listened to our Monday show with Kira McCormick telling her perspective of the story, please go back and do that when you have a second. We're going to move on now, though, just simply because if we get into the weeds here, I don't think we'll get to the other side of this. And perhaps I'd like to let the women speak for themselves in this particular case. Simon, to get onto the field again, was last week the lowest point of the Whitecaps sort of MLS history? You know, that Kaneka, the booing, the interview with Felipe at halftime, the follow-up from that, you know, the Guardian podcast calling it a disgraceful thing in the world of football or something, which is, you know, it's rare MLS gets talked about in that podcast at all. Was this the lowest point the MLS Whitecaps had been?
Well, I could think of a number of moments. I'd say one of the lowest ones was probably the last game played at Empire when they lost to the Seattle Sounders. That was in their first season in 2011, and just seeing how much of a picnic the Seattle fans had in winning the Cascadia Cup that year. Probably in my eyes, that was a fairly low point. Maybe the game last year against Dallas, which was Carl Robinson's last game in charge, was a fairly low point as well. I'd certainly say it wasn't great. You know, the reaction and the fact that fans sort of came out to see Zlatan and did boo the team a little bit. It is disappointing. It is sad. I would say that it is a low point, but I would probably go a little bit more along the lines of it being an inevitable reflection of the increasing restlessness that there is amongst this fan base, and I think even some media as well, of where this team is really going. They have tried to sell us on this whole idea of a process and the rebuilding and it's getting better. But, you know, I think the shelf life in terms of a lot of those phrases, that messaging, that statement is starting to run out. And the biggest thing that I took out of the game was really saying to myself and to others around me is I have no idea where for the life of me they're going to get their first win of the season. I think tonight against Chicago they're in tough. I'm very impressed with this Fire side. They've got a lot of weapons and options in different areas that can certainly hurt the Whitecaps. They gave Toronto FC all kinds of problems last week, and then beyond that they come in the next week on the Wednesday and they play one of the best teams in the league, a team that was far better than the LA Galaxy and LAFC in my opinion. And then they follow that by going into a very difficult place in Orlando, Florida, to play Orlando City, who I think are getting better. I mean, very easily, this team could be going from no wins in five to no wins in eight. And the thing that I cringe and fear a little bit right now, because it's a side that, as it stands right now, that's very impotent up front in attack and just isn't strong enough defensively to be able to hold out and claim goalless draws as it was able to admirably and deservedly do against the Seattle Sounders. It's very concerning, and I think what you got from the game last Friday with the Galaxy in terms of that kind of crowd reaction, to me, has been something that has been building up for some time, especially if you talk to people about the team, about different opinions, things that you ask about them, what's the first thing that goes through their mind. There's still a lot of that out there, and I'm it's getting concerning for me because I still feel there's a level of disconnect between what the club sort of has a feeling and understanding of that fan base and what the fan base is feeling. And I think it's starting to grow. And the longer this team goes without a win, it's only going to magnify itself in a major way. And caught right in the middle of it, and I feel very sad for him, is the head coach, Mark DeSantos.
An opportunity for a win will be presented tonight when Vancouver travels to Chicago to face the Fire in Bridgeview, not in Chicago. We all know that. But is it a must-win for Vancouver tonight? And can we see Vancouver win tonight? Because we've talked about it. It's no win and not a lot of great results for Vancouver this season so far. But we've seen a few glimpses of genius from Ngwang Baum and Bamwang and a few other players too. But Rena and Montero have been lackluster, to be polite. Does this team... Will the Vancouver Whitecaps go as far as Montero and Rena go?
Well, that's the thing. You ask if it's a must win. I guess probably at this point, for the sake of confidence and morale, it probably is. Because the longer this goes, this team goes without a win, the more the confidence starts to get hit, and then you start to really get concerned about, you know, its ability to feel it can compete in this league, and that becomes a real concern. I think they're in tough tonight. I think Chicago will have to be considered favorites again. I think they've got more weapons and things in them. It isn't just a team that's about Schweinsteiger and Gaetan. Katai and Nikolic up front are very good attackers, good guys who've proven they can score goals, particularly Katai at home. And I just think they've got more than enough to give the Whitecaps a lot of problems, put them on the back foot. It's going to be very interesting to see what Mark DeSantos does in terms of how to set up and put the shape of his team to face this Chicago side. Can they hit them on the break is the question, and certainly is there an ability that they can come through and take advantage of whatever chances that they can create, because maybe they should be able to get at least one or two opportunities to score this evening. Can they capitalize on them? If we see a combination of Montero and Reyna start, can they make that breakthrough? I really don't know right now. I've been very disappointed with both of them. They've been huge question marks. Mark DeSantos this week gave a sense of being trying to be fairly patient with both of them. But he's only got so much time that he can afford to give if the results still don't come. If they go through another winless month of April that they just did with a winless month of March, he has to then face up to the reality that with the summer transfer window around the corner, he's going to have to do some business, because I think the one thing I see happening over maybe the next two or three games is, as being the most glaring thing, isn't so much that the team can't keep the ball out of its own net. It's just it can't score. And it's been an issue, I think, that certainly I know Tyler Green and I on our show have raised before the season started. And I think the next two to three games are going to really tell the story of this team's ability to score goals, and how probably more than anything they need to go and address that in the summer window in quite a way, because the game is about scoring goals. It is about putting the ball in the back of the net. And what I'm finding is that there are a lot of teams in this league right now that do have people that can that can provide goals when needed. And right now, the Whitecaps, certainly in open play, haven't looked like a team that can really find the back of the net with the chances that they create. Have they been unlucky in one or two spots? Yeah, sure they have. But they've also not been getting the levels of performances from key players like Montero and Reyna. And I think that is where my cause for concern really lies.
Well, you also create your own luck in Major League Soccer. If you need a favorable bounce, you have to be at the right position for that bounce to come to you anyway. So I think there's some aspect to that as well for Vancouver. But in closing, Simon, Mark Dos Santos, his first Major League Soccer head coach gig. What do you think so far? We're going into week number 8, and I have to say I really like those Friday night games. I'm looking forward to watching Chicago and Vancouver tonight on TSN. You can follow it on Twitter as well. Follow me. I'll be tweeting about Vancouver. For some reason, I've been watching almost every game, and which leads me to this. What do you think about Mark Dos Santos so far and his managing debut in Major League Soccer and how he has made this team progress, if he did, this season so far?
I've been certainly impressed. You know, the one thing that's been really refreshing for him, which I don't think is a surprise to the two of you, is just how honest he is. And I think I think certainly local media here have had to deal with a lot of the cliches from Carl Robinson over time, even though he was always ready to speak to the media at any point. I think the media here are quite appreciative of the fact that he's been as honest as he is, and certainly was this week in training and when he was interviewed. And I think he's been a breath of fresh air. He's got a very clear idea of what he wants to do, and I can see what he's trying to achieve. The bigger issue is for him and the club. Is how much longer is the fan base going to continue to hang on here? Because they just don't equate things in what he and the club have talked about projects and everything. They're about, you know, is this team able to score goals? Can it win games? Can it actually sufficiently compete in this league? And there's enough doubt out there right now in all of that it's starting to make people sort of wonder if there's this team's really worth it all that much at all to go out and watch. And it's going to be, I think that's the real big challenge that they've got in front of them. And like I said, I think the longer the win the streak goes, the more urgent this situation is going to get. And it's just going to be harder and harder and harder for anyone at the club to continue to talk about the process and messaging and everything. I mean, there's even been suggestions maybe that, you know, should Mark Dos Santos be relieved of his duties in one or two circles here, which is absolutely ridiculous.
But it has been mentioned,
and if I'll tell you something right now, if the club does that, I won't be afraid to come on your program or anywhere and use the word dysfunctional to describe the Vancouver Whitecaps. But yeah. In his case, he has to continue with that process. But my goodness, I think he probably needs to get to that summer transfer window and get some things addressed, because I think even after the next two or three games, it's going to become quite clear even for him and the club just how short they are in certain important areas.
Yeah, and I think it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. You're right, for the Vancouver Whitecaps. Simon Fudge of Soccer Talk Vancouver podcast. You can find it anywhere you find your podcast, and you can find it as well on Twitter at Soccer Talk Van, and you can follow Simon at Simon Fudge 74. Simon, thank you for your time today, and have a great game tonight.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back after this very short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie, joined by Dwayne Rollins, as always. Dwayne, 10-2. 10-2 on aggregate. Yeah, that's the last team in Major League Soccer who got booted out of the Champions League in CONCACAF. My Kansas City Sporting got booted out 10-2. Yeah, 5-2 yesterday, and they lost the first game 5-0. So Monterrey will be in the final of the Champions League against Tigres, I believe. So quite a derby there. And I have to say, Kansas City, yeah, 10 goals.
Look, I mean, there's a lot of hand-wringing going on right now within Major League Soccer circles about what happened here. I mean, I did not watch more than 2 seconds of this final because I knew what was going to happen. All roads lead through Monterrey. Monterrey is the capital of North American club soccer right now, as we know. I well watched that final, if I can find it in Canada, because that's another story altogether. But anyway, it should be a hell of a match. But the issue in terms of Major League Soccer is, remember the famous Bill Clinton quote from his 92 election campaign, "It's the economy, stupid"?
I did not have sexual relationship with that woman. Oh, no, not that quote. That's another quote. Okay, sorry. No, I don't remember.
Yeah. It's the economy, comma, stupid, was his mantra when he was running. It's the spending, stupid, is why Major League Soccer will not compete consistently in the CCL until they close that gap. And it's more than just spending. You know, they can add more TAM, they can add more GAM, they can add more BAM. They want to create a third category. Sure, they can do stuff like that, and they will make the league incrementally better. But
what could the reality be? Boost an allocation money where you can do like a temporary boost, you can sign a lone player. That might be a good idea, actually. Anyways, you go continue.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other side of this is I don't think they can, even if they did increase the salary cap to, say, $20 million, just for the sake of arguing this, just say $20 million, obviously they would probably have more deeper runs that would happen. They would have more teams that would evolve that would be able to occasionally compete. But in terms of consistently being better than the Mexican League, I still don't think that they would be there, because the other side of it that no one talks about is that all of those controls that prevent any one Major League Soccer team from becoming truly great. It's like they're crabs in a bucket. They're tall poppies, right? With crabs in a bucket, you slam them back down. You pull them back down into the bucket. The tall poppies, you cut their head off. That's what Major League Soccer is designed to do. It is a parity-based league. It is a forced parity-based league. And when you do that, you prevent truly excellent clubs from evolving. You have occasional outliers. Toronto in 2017, Atlanta in 2018, and they
Montreal in 2015.
Yeah, I'm talking more about sustained excellence. I appreciate the impact went to the finalists. That's okay, but I'm talking about like a team that you can look at and go, okay, well, maybe they can compete. But even those teams, really, they're reliant upon. Think about the last Atlanta and Toronto, the last two teams.
Yeah, they're one player away from crumbling. Right?
Yeah, that's Amaro what goes, they become normal.
Yep.
Javinko goes, they become normal. Well, Javinko, injuries last year really wasn't derailed. Well, TFC did have Javinko. They did have everyone rolling in that CCL, in the playoff run, in the CCL form run. They had the full strength of that lineup. They were absolutely optimal, and they were able to ride that wave as far as they could. But you get to the final game, and what happens? Their backline's decimated. Michael Bradley's playing center back in the CCL final. They still almost win it, which would have been a bloody miracle.
Yeah.
But then it's like their body just collapsed and they couldn't do anything. They were ground into dust. Charles Bohm today said that they went into dust. I think that's probably a bit of an exaggeration. They were just grounded to dust and they've sort of rebuilt up from there. That's the point I'm making, is that for an MLS team to have a chance to go deep in that run, they need one of two things to happen. You need a hell of a lucky draw. With all due respect to Montreal and SLK, how they largely got there.
Yeah, Montreal got lucky by getting a Costa Rican team in the semifinal, which gave him an easier path to the final after beating Pachuca in the last minute of the game, right? So at home, otherwise they would lose.
Yeah.
Forget they were like a minute away from being eliminated. But I don't want to dwell on the Champions League final. I just thought it was hilarious
Or they have to have a perfect run. That was the end of my thought. Like, they have to be absolutely perfect. And you can't expect that to happen every year. And until they take the restraints off of both spending and forced parity, which I don't think is ever going to happen, they're never going to compete consistently to win this championship. And anyone who tells you otherwise is blowing smoke up your bum. They're marketing to you. They're not giving you journalism.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. All right. So now let's quickly touch on Sacramento and their new stadium and the $33 million package to help and get some, I would say it's an incentive package. It's to help business and companies and restaurants and other aspect, entertainment industry or whatever, help them design, plan, and build around the new stadium where it could be in Sacramento. All this in the mind with the future expansion maybe coming to Major League Soccer for Sacramento. And Major League Soccer quickly approved of that announcement on social media and everywhere. So can Sacramento finally get the opportunity to get what they've been asking for 5 years now?
Yeah, the other thing it did is it added like this pure infrastructure improvements like roads and stuff. But
yeah, well, it's a $252 million privately funded project for the stadium itself, and the $33 million of government money of public funds are there to incentivize to invite people to spend money in that project.
Yeah, the benefits more of the community as a whole as opposed to just the professional soccer team. It's actually a kind of nice compromise, I think, because as we've talked about, let's do some five rings talk here for a second, Kevin. What do sports stadiums do? They give you soft benefits, right? They give
infrastructures.
Yeah, soft benefits. And if you haven't listened to Five Rings, what we mean by that is a soft benefit is something like it makes your community better to live in. It inspires people. It gives, you know, more options to be healthy, things like that. Hard benefits are they make you money, basically. And the big disadvantage, the big mistake a lot of stadium projects make is they try and claim hard benefits when really there are none. In fact, the hard benefits are red for the most part, right?
The only hard benefit would be like if you have like a stadium like Wembley or an arena like the Bell Center, which is basically busy every single day of the year. If it's not busy with a show, it's busy changing its configuration to host a show the next day. And those arenas and those stadiums are busy enough that it is a money-making venture, but you do have to invest a lot in the upkeep and in the promotion and in everything of the stadium. So it's a very expensive business to run an arena or a stadium, never mind trying to make profit out of it, never mind making profit with a professional team attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this compromise where the stadium and all the bells and whistles and things that can make that professional sports owner money in that stadium are being paid for by the owner, but a little bit of money to help the area around the stadium, to help people get to the stadium easier, to help other businesses pop up around the stadium, you know, to the extent of what, the $32 million as opposed to 200 and whatever. I mean, you're looking at what I percentage of, I can't off the top of my head right now, but it's a small percentage of that. I think that's a fair compromise because there are benefits to the community. I don't care what anyone says. It's not a black and white situation. So then helping out in a little bit like this is I think it's completely reasonable, and it shouldn't, if you're a taxpayer in Sacramento, you shouldn't be up in arms over a project like this, because still the bulk of the risk is being taken by the owner. And that's fair as well, because, you know, as much as I love stadiums and I love risk and I wanted Calgary to bid for the Olympics and I wanted this and that, I do recognize that there is, you know, another side of that story, and you do have to have some shared risks. And I think this does it well. And to answer the question though directly, that what most people are saying, does this mean Sacramento jumps to the top of the line finally? Maybe finally. But it does speak to exactly what you need to be a major league. They will give, MLS will go into less sexy markets if two things are met. If there is a stadium plan in place that is approved and financed, and if there is an owner with deep pockets, and Sacramento never had either before that. And as much as people like to talk about their fan base and the soccer culture and all that good stuff around it, that didn't matter when it came to an expansion bid. Now they finally have it. So yeah, they have a chance now for the first time in a while. They are apparently going to meet next week, and we may even hear an announcement sooner rather than later. A lot of people are comparing this stadium plan to what Cincinnati did a couple years ago, and they quickly got their team announced right after that. So at this point in time, I'm happy to be wrong if Sacramento gets a team, because the fans that have stuck around, they certainly deserve it.
No, yeah, it's true. And we'll see whom of Phoenix or Sacramento get their team first. The Major League Soccer, two teams. Sacramento, of course, a lot more history in the USL in lower league soccer than Phoenix, but projects that are similar in a way that both were built, and now especially with ambitions of going to Major League Soccer. Dwayne has to go for now, so we'll say goodbye to Dwayne, and I'll continue to preview the weekend. So, Dwayne, have a great weekend, have a great soccer, and I'll preview the weekend in Major League Soccer. Here are the games for you going on tonight. Chicago Vancouver, like we talked about earlier with Simon. Montreal Columbus tomorrow at 1, Montreal's first game at home this season at Stade Saputo at 1 p.m. It won't be really warm. It's going to be an interesting game. The impact will be without Nacho Piatti, so we'll see. Houston Dynamo at San Jose, the Zombie Quakes, and Dwayne says goodbye. He hang up when you were saying goodbye, so Dwayne says goodbye. Houston Dynamo, San Jose. For me, this is the Zombie Quakes Derby. San Jose and the team who used to be the San Jose Earthquakes a long time ago. Houston Dynamo at home versus the Quakes. Seattle, Toronto, Minnesota United, NYCFC. What I like about this Seattle-Toronto game, it's the MLS Cup rematch of 2016 and 2017, Seattle-Toronto. Minnesota-NYCFC. If Minnesota at home beats NYCFC, man, I would fire the coach. I would fire Domitorant if Minnesota gets the job done at home against NYCFC. It is the home opener of Alliance Field. To all our friends in Minnesota, we hope you enjoy the weekend. To our friends Wes Burdine, Jeff Router, Brian Karstad, to all our colleagues and friends in Minnesota, enjoy this stadium opening. New England, Atlanta. Now, if Atlanta loses to New England, what do you do? Atlanta's 0-2-2 this year so far, dead last in the Eastern Conference. If they lose on the road to New England, yeah, it's over. It's done. Atlanta won't make the playoff. I'm calling it this early. If tomorrow night Atlanta loses, Atlanta's out of the playoff contention in my mind. FC Dallas, Portland. Can Portland ride the ship? I'm going to call it there too. If Dallas beats Portland, Portland won't make the playoff as well. It might be too early. It might be a hot take. You might be right. But FC Dallas, Portland. Portland's in big trouble. Colorado, DC United, Real Salt Lake, Orlando as well tomorrow night. LAFC, Cincinnati. This could get ugly, people. I think we might see the true Cincinnati versus LAFC. And LAFC might put on a clinic late Saturday evening, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 Pacific. LA at home versus the Union versus Philadelphia. And could be dangerous there too. Galaxy are better and having a better season, beginning a season, than anticipated. And finally, the last game of the weekend, this Sunday, April 14th, Sporting Kansas City at home versus the Red Bulls. Now, if you have $2 to bet on something, bet on Kansas City to put on a clinic this Sunday versus the Red Bulls. You don't lose 10-2 in the CONCACAF Champions League and come back in the league and belly up. I think Kansas City will want to change the momentum to help their confidence go back to where it was a few weeks ago. And I think the best way to do that is to beat the Red Bulls 3-0, 4-0 at home. And we know they can do that. Just ask the Montreal Impact. A few weeks ago, they put 7 past Evan Bush and won 7-1. So, and I think Montreal's better than the Red Bulls. So, 5-0, 6-0 Kansas City? Yeah, that could get ugly. And if I'm you, I'm putting some money on it. And this is the weekend preview, and we hope you enjoyed the show. We thank you to Simon Fudge for his time today, as always. And we'll be back Monday with a weekend review, a Canadian review, and to talk about the world of football with a soccer perspective. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Laramie for myself, and at Soccer Today SPN for the show. Podcast available anywhere you get your podcasts, and you can find our live show on Twitter at right here at Soccer Today ESPN. But until Monday, for Dwayne, I'm Kevin. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.